D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
A new Supreme Court justice is under consideration. How will this choice affect your family for generations? Find out more on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a program that would not be possible without viewers just like you. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. As we begin today, I want to encourage you to head to our website to sign a critically important petition urging the United States Senate to confirm President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. This is a key appointment that could influence the direction of our nation for generations to come. You will find the petition at djkm.org. With that Supreme Court vacancy waiting to be filled, it is critical that we understand what is at stake and what kind of justice we need at this vital point in American history. Later in the program, you will see how our out-of-bounds court system, predicated on perhaps the most infamous decision ever handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court, is putting one pro-life activist in risk of jail. As we begin, let's look at what the Supreme Court was constitutionally created to do and on what basis we should use to select justices for it. I'm joined by Dr. Jerry Newcomb, who is the author of In the Footsteps of Giants, Solutions from the Founders for a Nation Gone Astray. Jerry, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Frank.
Always great to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have a pending Supreme Court nomination, and there's a great deal of interest and controversy about it. But back in the founding era, Supreme Court nominations weren't that big a deal. Why is that so?
That's because the founders enabled we the people in the Constitution. They gave the power to we the people, and therefore they felt that the legislature was really the most important of the three branches of government, even more important than the executive, because it is through the people's representatives that we the people have the power. But what's happened is over time the court has gathered to itself far more power than is, frankly, is constitutionally allowed. These people have power for life. They have their position for life. And so what's happened, especially in the last 50 or so years, is we see more and more where the justices are legislating from the bench as opposed to just adjudicating. Mm-hmm.
So in the end, the principle of judicial review coupled with the idea that the Constitution is a living, evolving document,
yes,
has really accreted almost all power to the court, the high court. By an act of the court, they undid the institution of marriage, which has stood for, well, which is a creation ordinance.
Yes.
Stood for millennia in human societies in one decision. An unelected court has been able to accrue power to itself,
right,
to fundamentally change society. That certainly is nothing that would have been envisioned by the founders, is it?
Not at all. And in fact, I once talked with an expert and I asked him this question. Why is it that sometimes you see a conservative, supposedly, come on the high court and over time they essentially become liberal and they will make all kinds of decisions where they're certainly legislating from the bench, not just adjudicating from the bench. And his answer is very simple. He said, power is seductive. We all like power, you know, given to our natural state. And so the conservative justice is, in effect, pushing away power, saying, this is not up to me. Mm-hmm. This is not up to us. This is up to the states. It's up to the people. It's up to God, but it's not up to me. whereas the liberal is grabbing power unto themselves. And that's why some of them do change. But this is a power that I think is illegitimate. And Scalia is a great example of a man who understood that God has revealed himself in the natural law, in the scriptures. And that's why he could take unpopular stances, but stances that were far more in line of what the founders said in giving us the Constitution.
So Lord Acton was right. Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
That explains how we've gotten where we are.
Yeah.
But we are where we are, and there's got to be a pathway forward. And it seems to me that this next nominee being considered to the Supreme Court is crucial for finding our way back to a constitutional government. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
Okay, you agree. What should we be looking for in that person?
We should be looking for an originalist. Sometimes they have used the phrase strict constructionist. We should be looking at somebody that actually knows what the Constitution says and understands the intent of it. And while technology has changed and circumstances have changed and some things have gotten better and so forth, our nature hasn't changed.
Jerry, we are living in a critical hour in the life of our nation. What happens in these days will affect our future.
Yeah.
People should pray.
Yes.
But they also need to get up off their knees and get involved. What should they do?
They should make their voice heard. So here at the ministry, you can log on at djkm.org and sign that petition to support this nominee and make a difference for this country for the sake of our children and grandchildren.
Great. Jerry, thank you so much. It's been great to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
While it is now politically incorrect to say so, the true basis of our constitutional form of government has always been the Christian faith. Yet, as Christianity has been pushed to the margins, our freedoms have begun ebbing away. In a few minutes, you'll discover the story of someone who is risking imprisonment simply for standing on Christian principles. His example is a powerful reminder that the restoration of true freedom depends on the willingness of strong Christians to speak truth into power, and equally important, to restore a strong Christian influence in our government. Dr. Kennedy emphasizes this very point in this portion of his message, America, a Christian Nation.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible asks, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? There is no doubt that this is indeed a nation which was built upon the foundation of God, that the Lord indeed was the God of this nation, that it was founded upon the principles of God's Word, upon the teachings of Christianity, and for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. All of that is under enormous attack and has been for the last few decades. In fact, so effective has been that attack that the historical revisionists have all but removed every vestige of our Christian heritage from our textbooks in school. Even the very monuments in the nation's capital are being changed and removed that point to the Christian origins of this country. You and I were born in a Christian nation. That may not be said for your children or grandchildren, unless we who have received this marvelous patrimony do something other than let it sift through our fingers like sand, because we are engaged simply in personal peace and prosperity, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer used to say. My subject is America, a Christian Nation. If we know our history, we know that this was a nation founded upon Christ and His Word. Those foundations indeed are crumbling in our time. People seem to think that in some way religion in general and Christianity in particular are in some way inimical to good government, and that the purpose of the government is to keep religion away from the governors of our land. A very different view than held by George Washington, who said, quote, "True religion offers to government its surest support." In fact, Washington said that without God and the Bible, it would be impossible to govern. Yes, my friends, you and I were born in a Christian nation. I'm afraid our children or grandchildren will be born in an atheistic one. Just at a time when the rest of the world is realizing the folly of unbelief and the fatal results in the lives of people, America continues apace down the foolish pathway toward godlessness and secularism. I pray that God may grant that we may have the courage and the conviction, the strength of character, the boldness to be able and be willing to stand up for Christ. That we are engaged indeed in a great struggle, testing whether this nation or any nation that believes that men were created by a divine creator and thus endowed with inalienable rights, whether such a nation can long endure. There were in the beginning and there are today those who believe that this which we have received as our patrimony, a nation of freedom and liberty, and only where the Spirit of God is there liberty. Those that have been willing to fight and to die for such a country. And if a nation is built on such exalted principles as these, if it was created for such noble purposes as the advancement for the kingdom of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the glory of God, then indeed such a nation deserves our sacrifice and our support.
America has been the victim of a runaway Supreme Court for decades. Over time, liberal members of the court have dropped any pretense of basing their rulings on the text of the Constitution. Instead, they have replaced the voice of we the people with personal preferences thinly disguised as judicial reasoning. And in doing so, they have twisted the Bill of Rights beyond recognition. The abortion holocaust, for example, was unleashed on the nation by two infamous Supreme Court decisions wherein the majority of the high court decreed that the right to kill a baby in the womb flowed from a constitutional right to privacy. Never mind that such a right to privacy is found nowhere in the Constitution, and that the Constitution itself presupposes life as an inalienable right granted by God alone. In the intervening decades, the awful price for this exercise of raw judicial power is paid by the unborn and by the millions of women whose souls remain deeply wounded by a decision they will always regret. And those who stand publicly in favor of life also pay a high price. Our own Jerry Newcomb has more.
The folks at Planned Parenthood are selling baby parts, and they have no regard for the remains of these precious babies. And they're doing it to make a profit. They're doing it to add to the bottom line of their clinics.
So if we alter our process,
mm-hmm.
and we are able to obtain intact fetal cadavers, then we can make it part of the budget that any dissections are this, and splitting the specimens into different shipments is this. I mean, it's all just a matter of line items.
Mm-hmm.
These Planned Parenthood videos are horrifying. I would encourage every American to watch these videos.
These undercover video exposés help shed light on some of the grisly activities of the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. Three committees in Congress immediately launched an aggressive investigation.
Here's the troubling truth.
The video series made history, and it incurred the wrath of the left against the one man chiefly responsible. He is David DeLayden.
When David DeLayden was leaving Washington, D.C., and traveling back across the country to come back to his hometown in Los Angeles, he wanted to meet with me. And I had talked with him many times over the phone.
But we are investigating Planned Parenthood.
When we talked about forming this idea where we would get evidence to the fact that the abortion industry is selling fetal organs for a profit, which is in violation of federal law.
And so, over the course of more than a year, David DeLayden went undercover and made his multiple-part series documenting the tragic practice of trafficking baby body parts. Ironically, Planned Parenthood constantly dehumanizes the unborn by telling women that a fetus is just a clump of cells and not a baby. Yet, when they can make a profit in selling body parts from these unborn children, then suddenly, they were referring to baby brains, baby hearts, baby lungs, and so on.
Those that have created videos exposing Planned Parenthood have faced the full wrath of attacking the bully. It's never fun to get hit by the bully, but it's still the right thing to do, to stand up to Planned Parenthood.
David DeLayden's home state of California has even tried to pass a law that would target the free speech rights of those making video exposés if those videos expose the evils of abortion.
Well, in 2016, a bill that we saw introduced in the state of California was AB 1671. It was in direct response to people like David DeLayden at the Center for Medical Progress, Lila Rose from Live Action, directly targeting the work that they have done, the bold, courageous, undercover journalism, exposing the abuses of Planned Parenthood and groups like STEM Express. This bill basically would have criminalized all of the work that they had done, not only recording the videotape and audio tape, but even distributing it. A clear violation of the First Amendment and really a chilling effect to journalists everywhere, no matter where they come on the pro-life issue.
David DeLayden is a 27-year-old in a situation where half the country wants to string him up and the other half the country wants to canonize him.
One of the main legal groups defending David DeLayden from the seemingly endless lawsuits against him is the Thomas More Society out of Chicago.
He has changed the national discourse on abortion, on how we deal with the remains, the human remains of abortion, and on Planned Parenthood. David DeLayden needs our prayers to maintain his strength because he has maintained incredible composure throughout the difficulties that have beset him. We are proud to defend him in the seven different legal matters that are currently pending against him, and there may be more coming down the pike.
So far, David DeLayden has won every lawsuit against him, but his legal problems appear far from over.
What's so amazing about the David DeLayden work is that he literally took that biblical admonition to expose evil. And he did precisely that. He exposed evil. Evil requires darkness to operate. Abortion, everything attached to abortion, is laden with hiddenness and deception and lies. Even the word abortion itself doesn't convey what it is. It's not called child killing. It's not called child sacrifice, even though these are more descriptive words. And what he did is he exposed the true evil, the diabolical nature, the unrelenting bloodthirstiness of Planned Parenthood as an organization. And I think that even though he was attacked for it, many people of goodwill moved in our direction as a result of that.
This has truly become an upside-down nation when the First Amendment protections of journalists are tossed aside in favor of the big money interests of the abortion industry. This is part of what we have reaped as the courts and other government entities have overthrown our constitutional foundations in pursuit of fashionable policy preferences. And having lost our moorings, our freedoms are battered on rocky shores. Yet there is a way back, and we have a unique and valuable resource available, one that you need at this critical hour in the life of our nation, and one that will equip our children and grandchildren to stand for truth. And here's my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more about it. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. That resource is the important book, In the Footsteps of Giants, Solutions from the Founders for a Nation Gone Astray, by Dr. Jerry Newcomb. In this book, Jerry helps us rediscover the wisdom of the founders and what they said about the crucial issues facing us today. Issues like religious freedom, the importance of God and morality in public life, and limited government. In the Footsteps of Giants is an amazing and well-documented resource that you must have if you want to understand the complex and critical issues of our times. This book will equip you and those you care most about to be able to answer those whose politically correct ideology would sever us from the Christian roots that have nourished America since the beginning. And we want to send it to you right away as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. My father was passionate about getting this kind of information out to Americans. It has largely disappeared from our schools in the name of political correctness. But it's no coincidence that America, settled and founded on a biblical view of God, man, and freedom, has flourished. Our founders recognized that God guides the destiny of nations. They enacted a system which finds its roots in the covenants of the Bible and which made us the greatest nation on earth. But as we've forgotten those roots, we see our freedom and prosperity slipping away bit by bit. It's time for that to stop. Rediscover for yourself the true design our founders had for this nation. You'll be stunned at how relevant the solutions they gave us for the nation's problems are for today. At a turning point of major change in our nation, with decisions like the Supreme Court nomination happening virtually every day, it's essential that you arm yourself and those in your circle of influence with the knowledge contained in this book. In the Footsteps of Giants, Solutions from the Founders for a Nation Gone Astray, by Dr. Jerry Newcomb, is yours for a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
We stand at a critical point in the life of our nation. And the question we face today may well shape our national destiny. Will we as a nation continue our downward descent with our ever-growing culture of death? Or will the recent presidential election become a watermark, beginning a turning back to life? The answer may well depend upon what happens with the nomination of the next justice to serve on the Supreme Court. What became clear after the dreadful abortion rulings of the 1970s has been confirmed and even magnified with the same-sex marriage ruling in 2015. The Supreme Court of the United States wields too much power. Power not given to it by the Constitution. That much is clear. But what is less clear is how to judge a Supreme Court nominee. Some say we should look at previous rulings. But those are not always a reliable guide. In fact, it might surprise you to know that the late Justice Antonin Scalia voted with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on a full 70% of the cases before the Supreme Court when they served together. Now, that's not because Justice Scalia was some kind of closet liberal. It's because many cases do not really have an ideological component. The issues are pretty clear-cut and are resolved using established judicial principles. But for those cases where there is a matter of interpretation, we need to know one thing above all else. What is the nominee's judicial philosophy? Looking at mere results rather than the person's judicial philosophy gave us justices like David Souter and Anthony Kennedy. The nominee to the Supreme Court must have a firm judicial philosophy rooted in originalism. Simply put, originalism is the belief that the United States Constitution should be interpreted in the way the authors originally intended it. That is, the actual words of the Constitution have a fixed meaning, widely understood when it was adopted. In addition, the nominee must also have a firm commitment to see originalism defended. This originalist view stands firmly against liberal judicial activism, which says the Constitution is a living, evolving document. That view has taken our nation to the brink of an awful precipice, with the future of true freedom in doubt. Only justices who believe the Constitution means what it says and that we submit to that meaning rather than making the Constitution submit to us can help us set our government back on the pathway of freedom. Using raw judicial power, the Supreme Court has dictated the direction of our nation on everything from abortion to same-sex marriage. We have today an opportunity to restore government of, by, and for the people. Dear friends, it is imperative that you make your voice heard by signing the petition at djkm.org. I'm Frank Wright. Thank you for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
My friends, the time is coming when Christians are going to have to stand up and stand together.
In fact, our Constitution is an American document, and our laws are passed by a democratically elected Congress.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.